Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. As always, it is good to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada, indeed from around the world. The number is always to dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. I'll be going to your calls in just a moment, but I was reading an opinion piece in the New York Times titled, "Is Polygamy Next?" It's written by a professor of law at the University of Chicago. It might just as well have been titled, "You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet." Here's what this professor of law says in the New York Times. "Now that the dust is settling from the Supreme Court's decision which recognized a right to same-sex marriage, there are some new questions. Could the decision presage a constitutional right to plural marriage? Is there no magic power in opposite sexes? If there is no magic power in opposite sexes when it comes to marriage, is there then any magic power in the number two? With same-sex marriage on the books, we can now ask whether polyamorous relationships should be next. There's a very good argument that they should. Justice Anthony Kennedy's majority opinion did not focus primarily on the issue of sexual orientation. Its main focus was on a fundamental right to marry, a right that he said could not be limited to rigid historical definitions. By those lights, or by those principles, groups of adults who have profound polyamorous attachments and wish to build families and join the community have a strong claim to a right to marry." The professor goes on to say, "Earlier court decisions about marriage," Justice Kennedy wrote, "had presumed a relationship involving opposite-sex partners, but now we understand the presumption was wrong. Plural relationships in some circles are between multiple people of both sexes, not all of whom are strictly heterosexual. The lesson of the same-sex marriage case is that we should not be too wedded to historical assumptions. It may well turn out that plural marriages are very good for children. And we should remember that today's objections may seem trivial decades later. As Justice Kennedy put it, quote, the nature of injustice is that we may not always see it in our own lifetimes. So the real force of the polygamy question, says the professor, is a, a lesson in humility once we abandon the rigid constraints of history. We cannot be sure that we know where the future is going to take us. Well, on top of all of that, we have at least three mainline Protestant denominations celebrating the U.S. Supreme Court's legalization of gay marriage, some even saying that they were the trailblazers in the process. Leaders of the Presbyterian Church USA said the Presbyterian Church is celebrating the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that same-gender couples have a constitutional right to marry nationwide. Church leaders believe today's ruling is a step in the right direction. In other words, they agree with the professor. This is just a step. We got to continue down the path. United Church of Christ, in a news release, also celebrated the decision of the Supreme Court to affirm marriage equality for all. And as noted last week, Ryan Meeks, not Mike Meeks, but Ryan Meeks, the pastor of Seattle's Eastlake megachurch, said, "I refuse to go to a church where my friends who are gay are excluded from communion or a marriage covenant. The message of Jesus," says Meeks, "was a message of wide inclusivity. Gay or straight here," says Meeks, "there's no hate here." To Ryan Meeks, those who dare promote a biblical view of human sexuality, a view that holds that living outside the bounds that Christ has set for us to live within is harmful to human beings for whom Christ died, are not just misguided in his opinion, they are judged by him to be, well, haters. The message of Jesus was a message of wide inclusivity, says Meeks. I imagine that would include polyandry, polygamy, polyamory. And who, by the way, says the age of consent must be 18? Wide inclusivity might eventually welcome what is now regarded as pedophilia. Meeks even likens his stand for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender questioning community to the courage of the men who died in the invasion of Normandy. Think about that, says Meeks. We talk about it in D-Day terms. So many other pastors are afraid, trying to figure the upside. Perhaps our contribution is to die, to let others take the beach. So he takes the politically correct position and calls the other pastors afraid. How ironic. As Owen Strachan, a professor of theology and history, opined, "It's tough, but try to follow the trail of Meek's thought here. It's subtle, it's hard to spot, but Meeks implies that he is not unlike the fallen men who bled out on the beaches to save Western civilization." As Strachan goes on to say, "In reality, cultural capitulation on homosexuality is not courageous at all." And make no mistake, Meeks isn't the hero he holds himself out to be. Children who may today feel that they are biologically trapped by God in the wrong body and then act on those feelings may one day rue the fact that they listen to the likes of Meeks. How much better to have listened to the one who promised that the meek shall inherit the earth. Meeks characterizes those who oppose his opinions as espousing, quote, "a rhetoric of contempt all the while he castigates those who follow Messiah's doctrine on marriage as haters. Perhaps those who love and practice falsehood are the real haters, and those who rejoice in truth are those who personify love. Again, we have commented on this issue in many different venues, as mentioned at the top of the hour, in the commercial Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, well worth the read, also a special edition of the Christian Research Journal, available as you support the ministry. You can do that again in a safe and secure fashion on the web at equip.org or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on right to the phone lines. First up, Jake. He's listening in Canada, Edmonton, Alberta. Hi, Jake.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
It's an honor to speak with you today.
Well, it's great to talk to you.
Yeah, I'd like to quickly thank you and the supporters of CRI from the bottom of my heart for making the resources available to learn discernment skills to stay on the narrow path that leads to life and truth. And CRI is like a beacon of light that helps me navigate through the stormy sea of ideas and North American culture that's increasingly non-Christian. Yeah. So I'd like to urge all the listeners to keep supporting CRI and keep this beacon of light burning ever so brightly so that others can come and be enlightened and led, educated by the resources provided by CRI. So thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you for those wonderful words.
Yeah, and I just wanted to ask, what practical things can Christian parents do to lead their kids to know and love God and help them solidly grounded in the Orthodox Christian faith into their adult life, aside from attending church and learn the Bible at home? My wife and I are not raised in Christian homes, and we're just trying to figure that out as we have small kids, 3 and 2 weeks, and any suggestions or wisdom you have you could share with us would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, Hank.
Yeah, I think it's really important to listen to the words of the Apostle Paul to a young protege named Timothy when he said, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. In other words, Paul is saying to Timothy that it is not only what he is teaching that is important, but what he is modeling in his life that is critical in terms of impacting the lives of people, not the least of which are our own children. And of course, Moses gave some really practical advice when he said that we should impress the words of the Almighty upon the hearts of our children. He said, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads. He went on to say, write them on the door frames of your houses, on your gates. Above all, do not forget. And this is precisely what Solomon said as well. He implored his hearers to bind the word of God around their fingers, their necks, to write them on the tablets of their hearts. Or Jesus even more poignantly entreated his hearers, let these words sink into your ears. And Joshua, who I consider the Jesus of the Old Testament, beseeched the people of the promise, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then he says, for if you do, you will be prosperous and successful. It was not enough to record the sayings of understanding on a common tablet or to have a multiple variety of Bibles in the home. It's about impressing these words on the tablet of their consciousness, speaking of your kids. And I, as the father of 12 children, can say that it has made an incredible impact. It was just my birthday last week, and at my birthday party, I got all these handwritten letters from my kids, and one theme sprang out above all the others, and that is their gratitude for constantly feeding them the Word of God, answering their questions so that they might not only hear, but believe, and now become change agents in the culture in their own right. Coming to a station break, we'll be right back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff says Sherlock Holmes has nothing on J. Warner Wallace. In his new book, God's Crime Scene, a cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe. Wallace uses the tools of a world-class homicide detective to discern whether or not clues point in the direction of a divine intruder. The reader can almost hear the words, "Elementary, my dear Watson," as Wallace evaluates the powerful evidence for cosmic design. To receive your copy of God's Crime Scene as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The fast-growing acceptance of same-sex marriage is comparable to a massive cultural earthquake and resulting tsunami that rearranges the social landscape. It may well be the most significant social revolution in human history, but there is also a promise. If things can change this fast in one direction, they can change just as fast in another. CRI's special offer of same-sex marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles on same-sex sexuality and transgender issues from Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas, will help you stand for biblical life and truth. To receive the same-sex marriage book and journal special offer as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or simply visit equip.org. Because life and truth are under attack by secularists who deem the Bible nothing more than primitive superstitions and fairy tales, Christians are called to give reasons for what and why they believe to highly educated skeptics and atheists. Wisdom, however, warns against engaging in a defense of the one true faith without adequate training and preparation. The book by J. Warner Wallace, God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe, will equip you to present and defend the arguments and evidence for God's existence. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. In The Atheist Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions, Duke University professor and new atheist philosopher Alex Rosenberg bites the bullet and declares that to be a consistent atheist, you'll have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism and, just in case, there's always Prozac. Because a growing multitude of college students are drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense, we shouldn't be surprised that so many of our national spiritual and cultural indicators are headed south. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of New Atheist. To receive your copy of New Atheism, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-transforming outreaches, or visit equip.org. it comes to engaging with highly educated secularists, skeptics, and flat-out atheists, no Christian desires to enter intellectual, philosophical, and theological engagements untrained. As a way of equipping you to stand faithfully and fruitfully for Jesus Christ and biblical truth, the Christian Research Institute is offering J. Warner Wallace's book, God's Crime Scene. A cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe. To receive your copy of God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone lines and talk to Jeff next in Independence, Missouri. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Hank.
Hi.
Thank you for your ministry, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today.
It's great to talk to you as well.
My question, I've heard you speak numerous times about the Harbinger and Jonathan Cahn, and I agree with your take on him as probably participating in false teaching. But my question specifically has to do with he and others when they talk about the Shemitah, and God works in numbers, and the number seven. I know I read Deuteronomy, and I just would ask you to explain what that means, really, and how that pertains to us in the 21st century.
Well, I mean, I don't think any of the harbingers that he talks about pertains to us in the 21st century. I mean, he acts as though he's a living prophet, and therefore he can interpret these biblical signs, which, by the way, have already been fulfilled historically. But the reality is, he is no living prophet, and there is no living prophet as there was to interpret what we have in Scripture. I oftentimes say that you have to ultimately leave the magnifying glass for interpreting the Old Testament prophecies and harbingers in the hands of the New Testament writers, most particularly in the hands of Jesus Christ. So I think that what he is doing is esoteric, it's Kabbalistic, it's sensationalistic, and quite frankly, it's nonsense. The idea of taking what happened in ancient Israel, which has been fulfilled, and now applying it to the present in the way that he does, again, sells books, but doesn't ultimately save people to a right understanding of Scripture.
Right. Okay. And other people, when they talk about God works in numbers and sevens, what is that referring to, and what does that mean for us today? Anything?
Well, yes, numbers have incredible significance in the Scripture. I mean, if you think of the number of 1,000, which is used maybe 1,000 times in Scripture, at least metaphorically speaking, where God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, where God says he will multiply the number of Israel 1,000 times. All of these metaphors have rich meaning. I mean, obviously, the number itself points out that God owns everything, that is, loving kindness is everlasting, and so forth. With respect to the number seven, is a number of completion. So there's great significance in the way John uses the number seven in the Gospel of John to lay out seven themes. It's very significant in the book of Revelation as he lays out seven letters to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. The number seven is imbued with a sense of perfection. Numbers, therefore, have significance. The number 144, 1,000, 12 times 12 times 1,000, again, has great significance biblically. But having said that, we cannot read our own meanings into the numbers. What we have to do is be guided by the meaning that is given to us in reading Scripture in light of Scripture.
Okay. So when Jonathan Cahn specifically was talking about you know, in 2001, and 7 years later in 2008, the Dow dropped 777.77%. He's all, and then now in 15, he says in the fall, 7 years later, he's kind of putting his own meaning into that.
Not kind of, but yes, absolutely.
Okay.
That's what he's doing. He thinks the four blood moons of 2014-2015 coincide with the year of the Shemitah, and he thinks that he has discerned a pattern in history, in world events, that he has been able to unlock the meaning to, and that the various lunar and solar eclipses occurring during the period portend judgments of biblical proportions and so forth. The reality is these kinds of generalistic prophecies that he gives, and some of the things that he claims to have prophesied after the fact, are the kinds of things that give Christianity a black eye. The prophecies that we have in Scripture, very, very interesting. God tells us what is going to happen before it happens, he says, so that when it happens, we may believe that he indeed has spoken. But there's nothing whatsoever in the Scripture that gives precedent to saying what is going to happen and when in America in 2015. Even when you look at the blood moons in Scripture, it's language that is apocalyptic. So when Jesus says that the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, the heavenly bodies will be shaken, he's using language from the Old Testament prophets. They use that language to portend destruction. Now, Jesus uses that same language and applies it to what he prophesies will happen within a generation. Now, Jesus' prophecy comes true, but here's the problem with the cons of the world. They're 100% wrong 100% of the time. Or they're kind of like the tea leaf readers, or the mesmerists, or the garden variety tricksters. And what they do, in essence, is they do cold reading on their prospects, or they speak in the language of good stage hypnotists. And then everybody is wowed. The trouble is, once the hypnotist, if they ever do, show you the trick, you think, how can I have been so dumb to fall for this? This is so unlike what you have in the Scripture. I mentioned on yesterday's show, Nebuchadnezzar. He knew that the magicians and the pretenders were up to this. So when he had the dream, he wanted them to not only tell the meaning of the dream, but what the dream was to begin with, because he did not want to be, deluded by them. So he was very careful. Now, Daniel, of course, was forthright. He said, I couldn't tell you either one of them, but God can. So I think we ought to have the kind of skepticism that Nebuchadnezzar had, quite frankly, with the cons of this day.
Well, it's surprising to me, why are there so many, for lack of a better word, big names out there in the Christian world that are believing this? I mean, some well-known names, I should say.
Well, the question is, are they really believing this? I mean, I remember during the Y2K crisis, everyone was cashing in, quite frankly. I wrote a book called The Millennium Bug Debugged, and I had the biggest name Christians saying that one said that I was going to have the blood of millions of people on my hands because I was causing complacency within the body of Christ, all the while cashing in, selling freeze-dried food and generators and one of the most popular books on the planet at the time. And so you have, I mean, think about James Dobson. I mean, that was the biggest name you could have in terms of popular media. And he was much bigger than Jonathan Cahn. And he was essentially selling freeze-dried food, selling generators, selling books. To his credit, after it didn't turn out to be anything at all, he did apologize, but nonetheless, these ministries cashed in. So, you know, I can't judge their motives, but are they really deluded, or is this jumping on the bandwagon? I mean, look what we did with the books like Heaven is for Real, or The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. It wasn't until pressure was put on and the evidence was presented, and we did a lot of this on the show because the mother of the boy called me up and said it was all a ruse. And so I made that public on the show. It wasn't until there was a lot of public pressure that finally there was a capitulation and people pulled back and said, well, we're going to have to pull the book out of circulation, because it really never happened. And the boy himself, young boy, in a horrible position physically, was tormented by the fact that what was written in that book was deceiving multitudes of people. So he was not only tormented physically, but he was tormented psychologically, because people were being duped and he knew it. But there's a lot of money being made in the process before that book was pulled out of circulation. So, I mean, do people really believe this stuff? Are they that benighted as leaders? I don't know. Maybe. On the other hand, there are all kinds of motives people employ for justifying these kinds of cons.
Okay, well, I appreciate your response. That clarifies some things for me, and thank you for your time, sir.
You got it. And no doubt what I have just said is not going to win me any popularity contests. It's probably not be good for donations and all of that. But look, we have an audience of one. As long as the Lord allows us to continue, we're not going to bow to the politically correct rhetoric of the culture. And for certain, we're not going to peddle the kind of nonsense that has become popular in the Christian community. And I was talking earlier in the broadcast about a guy like Ryan Meeks. I mean, he can use the most perverse language about those who uphold Messiah's message, calling them at one point something as low as haters. And garner a great following doing it. Because what is he doing? He's capitalizing on what is currently politically correct. He's in the stream. And all kinds of people are going to be swimming down the stream with him. But in the end, there's a dam. Again, message of one, only one life. Soon 'twill be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Got some great resources available for those who support this ministry, books that you can genuinely trust in, like God's Crime Scene, for example. A cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe. It's available for your support of this ministry. So we not only ask people to support us, but as they support us, we equip them with discernment skills. And Lord knows we need those discernment skills now more than ever. Be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Assessment broadcast.
G.K. Chesterton said, "There are only two kinds of people, those who accept dogma and know it, and those who accept dogma and don't know it." Truth is, we must never surrender critical thought to dogmas of our age, whether scientific or religious, especially with respect to the dogmas of naturalistic evolution. God's Crime Scene, a new book by J. Warner Wallace, presents cosmological, biological, mental, and moral evidence not only to refute naturalistic evolutionary dogma, but to establish beyond reasonable doubt that God exists. Receive God's Crime Scene. A cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe as our thank you for supporting CRI's life-changing outreaches by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
Thank you.
Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical arguments wouldn't earn him a passing grade in a freshman philosophy course, but he doesn't mean to deal with the questions that theists are asking. He simply ridicules his opponent's position. In New Atheism, a Survival Guide, Graham Veal explains, the new atheist stance is that the reasons for theism must be so bad, why even read about them? My goodness, no, you'd just dismiss them. Veal goes on to show that the new atheists have not offered one original argument for atheism, but they've plenty of original insults. New Atheism offers an accessible, practical resource for countering new atheist attacks. To receive your copy of New Atheism, a Survival Guide, as our thank you gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Cold case detective J. Warner Wallace would never allow a divine intruder to enter his life. Yet over time, something changed, and he now sees himself as a guest in the Creator's universe. Detective Wallace is not a theist because his parents believed or because he needed to fulfill a void in his life. Rather, he says, I believe God exists because the evidence leaves me no reasonable alternative. God's Crime Scene, a cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe, presents the cosmological, biological, mental, and moral cases for God. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? Can I attend a same-sex wedding? Can my business provide services for a same-sex union ceremony? What if a person in a gay marriage becomes a Christian? If you haven't encountered these questions yet, stay tuned. Given the current reality shift, you're likely to. Get well-reasoned answers to these and other questions in CRI's Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package, which includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. G.K. Chesterton remarked, "It is absurd for the evolutionist to complain that it is unthinkable for an admittedly unthinkable God to make everything out of nothing, and then pretend that it is more thinkable that nothing should turn itself into everything. It is pure folly to embrace atheism's dogma of evolutionary naturalism." There is, however, an alternative to atheism. The book God's Crime Scene by J. Warner Wallace examines evidence for belief in a divinely created universe. To receive your copy of God's Crime Scene, a cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Well, now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A quick program note, going to stay here for an extra hour today. Once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on, if I don't get to you in this segment, I'll try to get to you in the next segment. For those who would like to call in a question during the next hour, 888-ASK Hank is the number to dial. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Phil next. He's listening in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Hank. I really appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
My question is, do you believe that possible in the near future in the United States that it's going to be against the law for you to speak about gay marriage in a negative way? And do you believe it's possible that the radio stations will be pressured into dropping those who speak about marriage in a negative way, the gay marriage?
Yeah, I mean, I can't predict the future, but I can read the signs of the times, and I would say that that is a fairly safe assumption.
Well, I've already noticed that in the last few weeks, those with a public platform, Christian leaders with a public platform, are just getting hammered. Well, I guess I should say the very few that are still willing to speak out on the issue are literally just getting hammered every single day, multiple times per day.
Well, you know, what I think is breathtaking is the numbers of people who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips who are in a fury over those who would not go along lockstep and barrel with the LGBT narrative, meta-narrative. If you don't go along with it, they're furious, so they're not going to support your ministry anymore, et cetera, et cetera. So what's interesting is that this is not just a cultural circumstance. This is a quote-unquote church circumstance. I alluded to this at the top of the show, but there are huge denominations who are taking credit right now for being trailblazers, like the United Church of Christ. They're talking about not only celebrating the decision of the Supreme Court to affirm marriage equality for all and take a step in the right direction, because Pandora's box is open now, one can only imagine what is going to come out. Again, I mentioned this, but it bears repeating. And you can add whatever you want to the ending. Polyamorous relationships, polygamy, polyandry. I mean, there are all kinds of, even pedophilia. Who knows what's going to come out of this box, because you have to look at the reasoning process and you don't have to guess about it. All you have to do is read what Kennedy said. I mean, you're looking at a Supreme Court Justice, Anthony Kennedy, a majority opinion, and he points out that the main focus was on the fundamental right to marry, a right that he said should not be limited to rigid historical definition. And therefore, by this argumentation, you can make a very strong claim that polyamorous attachments, people who same love relationships, they can build families, they can join the community in the same way that same-sex partners can join the marriage community. So, look, this many love box has been opened, and we have not seen anything yet. I mean, that's certainly safe. And the iron boot of the LGBT community, I mean, is certainly an iron boot that crushes those that oppose. And it's not, again, just the LGBT community. In fact, to their credit, there have been leading spokespersons who have recognized that the very boot that once suppressed them is the boot that they're now using, and it is quite tragic that they have fallen into this trap themselves. I mean, this is from the more circumspect LGBT leaders. But I think even worse than the LGBT community itself is the promoters of this same-sex marriage bandwagon like Meeks. I mean, he uses the most pejorative of terms to castigate other people and pastors and leaders who don't agree with him. So this isn't just a collegial debate. Boom, you don't agree with him, you're a hater.
Exactly, and that's what's most disturbing, hearing hearing all these Christian leaders get on the bandwagon with the gay marriage thing and say, in the area that I live, there are a couple of well-known Christian leaders that have already gotten on the bandwagon, and they say, oh, no, this is, God would not be against this. God is not against love. He is in favor for love any time, anywhere, any way. And, I mean, it's just so disturbing to hear all
but
these
he's
Christian
not in
leaders.
Favor of people hurting themselves, and that's why he's put parameters around our lives. I mean, Jesus built a doctrine of marriage. And he was very clear about that doctrine of marriage. So were the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that what Jesus was saying was correct. I mean, you think about the transgender people that are listening to Orion Meeks today, and they're saying, my sexual orientation is not determined by my biology, it's determined by my feelings. And so you can imagine a young child, and having been the father of many young children, most of whom are now grown up, but some who are fairly young yet, I know how feelings change over time. But you can imagine an 11-year-old or a 12-year-old listening to Ryan Meeks and thinking, you know what? I kind of feel as though I'm a boy trapped in a girl's body or vice versa, and then go down that line of having a sex change like Bruce Jenner did. And by the way, I refuse to call him Kate Jenner, as his new E-series does. Look, so that child makes the same decision, doesn't have the fame and fortune of Bruce Jenner, and as a result of that, ends up in misery, maybe commits suicide. This is a very serious matter. The moment you say feelings determine gender, and then you recognize the very simple truth that feelings change over time and sometimes change very quickly, you're doing irreparable damage to people, if not biological, psychological damage to people. The sociological metrics, I mean, this is not about scripture now, but just the sociological metrics themselves make clear that gender differentiated parenting is very important to a child. So the politically correct rushing down the same river because it's popular and sometimes it promotes the prosperity of a church, ends up damaging people. And that's the point. It's the reason I wrote Osteenification on another note. Why did I write that book? It's because he's the biggest of the bunch, and what he is saying sounds good with a big smile and a lot of hype, but what people miss is the dark underbelly. Those falling out of the back doors of his stadiums, not knowing who to trust or what to believe, because what he promised and what he said, the Bible said, which the Bible never said to begin with, is damaging. So this is no harm, no foul kind of, it's not no harm, no foul kind of a thing. This has gargantuan repercussions for real life people. And that's why you got to continue to speak out for the good, we might say, of the children.
Thank you for your courage to speak out.
We only have an audience of one, and at the end, we're going to stand before him. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm 65 now. Who knows how many years I have on this planet? My dad died when he was 74. If I live to be as old as my dad was, I got 9 years. Maybe I'll live to be as old as my mother. She's 90. I have another 25 years. But whatever is, it's very short in perspective of eternity, and then we'll stand before God and give an account of what we did while we were in the flesh. And to whom much has been given, much will be required. And as James puts it, let not many of you be teachers, because with teaching there is a stricter judgment. Boy, oh boy, if you take eternity seriously, And I think ultimately you want to be like those first century Christians who were willing to have their heads chopped off or thrown into hippodromes rather than following the politically correct rhetoric and having your bigger barn for a moment. We are too close to a station break right now to take another call. At the end of the, I guess we're at the end of the program. I got so wrapped up in the program, I forgot. This was the third segment. What I said earlier on is I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we sign off today. I'll continue taking your calls. So if you're calling in, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can call right now and call for the next hour. I'll continue, as I said, taking your calls for the next hour. 888-ASK-HANK. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. At a resource consultant standing by at 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Do remember that we are a ministry that exists because of listeners just like you that are willing to stand with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. When I say it's a battle, it's not hyperbole. It is a battle for life and truth. We have an opportunity to make a difference. We can curse the darkness, or we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. Do remember as well the Christian Research Journal. You can find it on the web. Also, our newsletter. You can subscribe to the newsletter free of charge on the web, or subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. It's a subscription magazine. You can check it out again at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in. God bless all of you as you stand with me in the battle for life and truth.
The new book, God's Crime Scene, by cold case detective J. Warner Wallace, examines the cosmological, biological, mental, and moral evidence that identifies the creator and landlord of the universe in which we live. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the mind-shaping ministries of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you this powerful resource. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. In The Atheist's Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions, Duke University professor and new atheist philosopher Alex Rosenberg bites the bullet and declares that to be a consistent atheist, you'll have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism, and just in case, there's always Prozac. Because a growing multitude of college students are drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense, we shouldn't be surprised that so many of our national spiritual and cultural indicators are headed south. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of New Atheist. To receive your copy of New Atheism, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-transforming outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Because life and truth are under attack by secularists who deem the Bible nothing more than primitive superstitions and fairy tales, Christians are called to give reasons for what and why they believe to highly educated skeptics and atheists. Wisdom, however, warns against engaging in a defense of the one true faith without adequate training and preparation. The book by J. Warner Wallace, God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe, will equip you to present and defend the arguments and evidence for God's existence. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.
equip.org.